Good morning. Again, my name is Marty Johnson, and as of today, I'm the new president of the Board of Trustees here at First Church. Thank you. I'd like you all to get a little insight into what it's like to be a member of my Johnson household. So I have a story to tell you about, and it leads into, I promise, how I came up with today's quote and the title of my sermon, which is Answerable Courages. For every holiday that my family celebrates, we have an accompanying collection of movies. We enjoy watching these movies to put us into the holiday spirit. There are, of course, the Charlie Brown specials for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. We've got Tim Burton films, which we love, Monsters, Inc. for Halloween, Elf and The Grinch That Stole Christmas are some of our Christmas favorites. Pocahontas is great for Thanksgiving. We've got the full range of claymation classics for my youth, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, A Year Without Santa Claus, The Easter Bunny, you get the idea. Each year we add to our movie collection. We keep them in the appropriate boxes of decorations. Actually, in the boxes neatly labeled open first. We've got the Thanksgiving napkins and dish towels in the Thanksgiving and or fall tub. We've got, along with the collection of turkeys that we have. We've got the Christmas stockings, the reindeer horn headbands, and forest-scented candles in the open first Christmas tub. We also have buckets for Easter, 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, Hawaiian luau tubs, which some of you experienced at the newcomers party, and of course, the most recent bucket, the Pride Parade. We're not even going to get out the 4th of July bucket this year, though. Those are outside decorations, and it's just really too hot to take outside. Now, when I say boxes, buckets, and tubs, I'm really talking about the same thing. You can kind of envision these are really large plastic containers, just really big. You could almost curl up inside one of them. And they reside in a part of our house which we call the passages. And the passages are a wide hallway storage area and a cedar closet that extends beyond the rooms of our house on our lower level. A lot of storage room is truly a great blessing for the Johnson household because we use pretty much every inch of it. We have about 16 of these really large containers and like 35 smaller ones. These are just the decoration and holiday containers, mind you. We've got shelving everywhere, floor to ceiling with supplies, tools, you name it. It's probably in the passages. Now, before you think about calling the Hoarders Helpline on the Johnson household, I'd like you to know that the vast majority of it is theoretically organized. I say theoretically organized because even though I have spent a lot of time organizing, packing, labeling, storing neatly in each box, my husband Eric and his partners in chaos, my two daughters, spend an equal amount of time getting stuff out of the boxes to decorate and use and play with. They are creative and fun with our decorations, but absolutely awful at putting them away. So the next vision I want to conjure in your mind is just outside the door to this passageway is a pile of stuff that are lonesome decorations waiting to be stored away in their appropriate boxes. As of yesterday, there was, well, a week ago, maybe a ceramic Easter bunny that I think has been sitting there for nearly a year. There was a Christmas wreath, pine-scented candles, Halloween party favors, and the newest denizens, the Pride Parade flags, and a bundle of tangled beads left over from the Pride Parade. I refuse to put all this stuff away. I keep saying to my husband, "You got it out, dear, and you promised to put it away." Eventually, they do all get put away. I suspect that Eric snuck a peek at the sermon, and he did, in fact, put that Easter bunny away last week, I think. But in all fairness, organization is not really one of Eric's strengths. It's my strength. I do the taxes, I do the finances. He cooks and is creative with crafts and decorations. I'm more resourceful with things like organizational charts and statistics. Eric hauls the giant fallen tree branches from our yard after the big storms in the summer. He brings those tree branches inside our house and he affixes them to the walls of the vault and the vaulted ceiling, and it creates the spooky forest that we enjoy for Halloween parties. And yes, he eventually did. Well, he hung icicle and snowflake ornaments from the branches festively in December. It really was quite pretty. Eric and I have opposite and sometimes competing strengths, but we have learned over our 17 years of marriage to trust and be open with each other's strengths and to be more patient with our weaknesses. We communicate and we wrestle emotionally with each other quite on a constant basis. This dynamism is one of our greatest strengths. We strive to let each other's gifts shine through at the right time. And so we get out the carefully labeled open first box when a holiday rolls around and we pop a holiday DVD into the player. Some holidays we kind of go on a movie binge and we play one movie right after the other as we're decorating the rest of the house. This was the case 2 years ago for Thanksgiving. I remember it quite clearly. The weekend before, we got out the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving DVD, the Pocahontas movies, and we watched those. Not as yet sated, we moved to streaming movies from the internet, Roku streaming. We watched Eric's favorite PBS series, The Pilgrim House, which is a pilgrim reenactment documentary. Still not sated, we searched for something else and found a documentary on Plymouth Plantation. It was a kind of Ken Burnsy type film, and it opened up predictably with the somber piano music in the background. On the screen came this quote, and it nearly took my breath away. It was by William Bradford, the second governor of the colony. The first governor, Carver, had died before they even landed at Plymouth. The quote from William Bradford is this: "All great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulties, and both must be enterprised and overcome with answerable courage." Let me read it again. "All great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulties, and both must be enterprised and overcome with answerable courage." I love that quote. And when I began thinking about this day, this morning's sermon, when I start my time as the president of the board, this quote came to my mind. I knew that I wanted to speak about it. Our church is such a place of great and honorable actions. Here at this church, I have found not only a spiritual home, but support, love, inspiration, friendship, wisdom, and personal growth. I know for all of us, we have found something here that brings us back, that feeds us and sustains us. For many of us in this congregation, we have found a place of acceptance, not a place of mere tolerance, but a place of acceptance. Our church is a place that accepts and affirms myriad diversity in sexual orientation, gender identification, family structure, age, class. Our church is a place where our children are brought up and nurtured in a moral, loving, intelligent, open environment. Our church is a place where you can question openly, challenge, and not be ostracized or shunned for violating orthodoxy or orthopraxy, right thought or right practice. Our church is a place that sees hunger, poverty, and hardship, and we do something about it. We invite our hungry neighbors into our church as our guests, and we feed them the best meal that we can put on the table. We obtained personal care and hygiene items to give to our guests at Fourth Saturday. Why? Because we discovered that they can't buy these items with food stamps. We have tutored kids who weren't getting help at school, and we have opened our doors to those who are cold. We've welcomed them inside during the winter with our warming shelter. We set up a hotline and trained volunteers to help those of our community facing foreclosure. Our church is a place that sees the pain and suffering of the LGBT community, and we do something about it. We march in the Pride Parade, and we welcome the LGBT community with open arms to come here, be with us, inspire love, and seek justice. Here, your family, however you define it, is more than welcome. Our church is a place of caring for you, your family, your health, your joys, your concerns. I can't tell you the number of times one little comment by one of you has made all the difference to me. One visit, one hug, one phone call, one Facebook posting, it happens all the time in this special place to give love and support. And our church is a place that likes to go camping and be with each other around the fire. I'm not sure what that does for us. I can't really articulate it clearly, but it's really cool and it's fun and I love it. Camp Fest is a wonderful thing and our camping ministries is so vibrant. Our church is a place of great and honorable actions. And these are accompanied by great difficulties. We've been struggling for several years with operational deficits, rising costs, and a declining income stream. Money is a big problem for most people right now, and we're no exception. And though we are running a successful capital campaign to make needed repairs, to renovate our kitchen, hopefully put some parking lot, handicapped parking spaces out front, we may not have enough to do all that we had hoped for. For a variety of reasons, money or lack thereof is going to be a bigger and bigger problem moving forward. I know this is disappointing to hear, but there it is. We're coming up just shy of our goals, and the board this year is going to have to make a lot of hard decisions ahead to figure out what to do about it. Our other difficulty is due to a good thing, our church growth. We are a vibrant and growing church. This brings with it new challenges. As a small church, a few extremely dedicated people did the majority of the work. Now, as we grow faster and faster, the work is increasing exponentially, as it should. This past year, a small cadre of people put in incredible hours executing the capital campaign, the annual stewardship campaign, working on the renovation plans, the strategic plan, camping ministries, finance committee, not to mention the normal committees and functions of the church like the caring committee, food ministries, worship committee, religious education. The list really does go on and on. In a small and growing church, this has led to a bit of people doing a lot of work and some people doing an insane amount of work. Folks, this is truly a recipe for burnout and loss of people. Not only that, but we're small and growing, and we don't presently have a large, endless pool of volunteers from which to pull our resources and efforts. Many of us have to wear multiple hats, getting overwhelmed quickly and then burning out. Our great and honorable actions are accompanied with these great difficulties. Both must be enterprised and overcome with answerable courages. As a University of Chicago MBA, the word enterprised really kind of jazzes me. As I'm going to use all the skills that I've got to enterprise and overcome our difficulties, but I can't do this alone. Each person in our congregation needs to pitch in to help bring about our great and honorable actions. There are three things, as I look ahead to the coming year, three things that I'm going to focus on specifically this year: organization, financial stability, and growth. We've got to go about these in a different way than we have before. We are small and growing rapidly. We are moving quickly towards becoming a mid-size congregation, not a small congregation, a mid-size congregation. That's reason for celebration. But it's a whole different ballgame. We have to be enterprising, work smarter, more efficiently, harness our natural talents more effectively. Organizers, organizing. Creative folks, creating. Caregivers, caring. Teachers, teaching. To the extent that we can, matching individual strengths to functions and positions within our church community. Right now, that is more difficult because of our size. As we grow, this will become a bit easier. So, if you have a talent or special ability, please share it with your church community. Step forward and help carry the load. Second on my agenda for the coming year, we've got to get our financial house in order. This sounds like not a whole lot of fun. We've got to take a good hard look at the numbers and be honest about our situation. We've got to plan, and we must start to forecast to project what might be ahead of us. At Big Brothers Big Sisters of Eastern Missouri, where I've just recently landed a position, just this Friday, we were going over the numbers projected, not for this year or next year, but projecting into 2015. Successful businesses and non-for-profits don't fly blind, and neither should we. The Finance Committee, our treasurer, and the board are working hard and will work even harder to get us where we need to be financially. Lastly, and I hate to sound kind of Republican with this one, but we need to focus on growth. So if you could do just one thing for the church, make a note, a mental note, that I would ask you to invite the following: a socially liberal, eco-conscious, family-oriented, very wealthy hedge fund manager to First Unitarian Church of Alton. What do you think? Sorry, I couldn't help myself with that one. But seriously, new members, whether or not they meet those criteria, bring vitality, diversity, talent, and financial support to our special place. Now that I've been a member here for several years, I look around and see so many initiatives and changes started by new members. This is such an incredible place. You don't have to proselytize or evangelize. Just ask someone to join you on a Sunday morning. There are a lot of people out there who would be great here. They just want to be asked. I don't want to be just a welcoming congregation. I think also we need to be an inviting congregation. In the next coming months, we need to stage several fundraisers to cover our budget shortfall. We talked about that at the annual meeting. But more importantly, we need those fundraisers to be even better friend-raisers. Fundraisers and friend-raisers. We need to attract and retain new members. We need to use our creative folks, our organizers, and our inviters to make this happen. Standing on the side of love takes courage. Marching in Pride Parade for some takes courage. Going to church in gender transition takes courage. Teaching a class takes courage. Let me tell you, being in the pulpit takes some courage. Playing music and singing takes courage. Attending yet another committee meeting takes courage. Pledging money to the church when times are tough takes courage. Talking about a problem with someone from the Caring Ministries or the Minister Kleber takes courage. Visiting a congregant in a hospital takes courage. Sitting with our guests at Fourth Saturday lunch takes courage. Speaking up takes courage. Dissenting takes courage. Parenting with love takes courage. Inviting a friend to church takes courage. So does showing up at a church where you know no one. That takes courage too. Nearly all that we do here in this church takes courage. It is courage in the face of and in answer to those great difficulties. Answerable courages. But our courages need to be answerable in the sense of accountability as well. As in my household, we need to decorate and celebrate, but we also need to put our stuff away organized. We We need to keep dreaming and doing and be prudent and wise with our money. We need to be inviting and welcoming and also caring and nurturing our longtime members. We need to think outside of the box and be flexible and hold the accountability, the answerability of discipline and long-term commitment. This is going to require incredible courage, as all great and honorable actions do. I get what William Bradford must have felt as he looked at that new wild land, his leader having just died. And he's it. It takes courage. We must have courage to tackle the challenges of the fun stuff, like Camp Fest, and we must have even more courage to tackle the hard stuff, like our finance and our processes and organization. But if we can engage the dynamism that I know is here in this congregation, the power, the love, the grace, the fire in our hearts, as Kleber says, then we will do it. We will create and create anew, again and again, in ever beautiful manifestations, the blessed community, the loving community, the open and affirming community of our highest aspirations. We will enjoy church brought about by great and honorable actions, and although we will be accompanied by great difficulties, we will enterprise and overcome with our answerable courages.